All right. Hi.
Hi.
Well, what's your name?
It's Kevin Pomeroy.
Well, nice to meet you, Kevin. We are here at the Truth
Booth. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. And like I was telling you, we're collecting the stories from people in the community. So, you know, are you from Madison?
I am. Yeah, I live on the near west side.
Okay. Have you been here your whole life?
No, I've lived in Madison for 17 and a half years. Lived in Stoughton for about 10 years before that. And I lived in Minnesota for a while. And actually was raised in Des Moines, Iowa.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect. So Midwest all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I was born in Toledo, Ohio, which I guess is Midwest too, but a little further to the east. So anyway,
And so what do you do here in Madison?
I am mostly retired, although I do a bunch of stuff. I mean, during the day, I'm an activist. I've been working a lot on the campaign, kind of in my own way, because I think I'm a Democrat of 50 years.
Okay.
And this opportunity that we have right now is unprecedented in my entire life. So that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to spend a good part of every day from now till November, to make certain, that the Democrats prevail. Because I think if we don't, it's a big, big problem.
Right, yeah. And so what kind of work are you doing as far as that goes? Or I guess, how do you approach it to talk to people to get them energized? I feel like it might be easier now.
Yeah. Well, it is. I'm doing a lot of one-on-one stuff. I mean, I have an active Facebook presence, but I have a small number of, I have 560 friends, but I reach out from that considerably to all these different arenas where I just comment, on stuff. And I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to smack anyone down, but I try to, if there's an opportunity, to provide, some information, I'll do that. Sometimes, we discover that's a waste of time, and then I won't do that anymore. It's sometimes it's a fact-free universe that I'm in, and I recognize that right away, and I get out. I mean, because there are persuadable people out there, and those are the folks I'm going to be working with from now until November.
And what kind of message are you finding resonates with the people you talk to that are persuadable? Like, how do you like to frame it?
Yeah, I mean, what I've been doing is I tell stories. I tell the story of my dad, who died 18 years ago, and he was a World War II vet. And in his photo tech unit, he actually processed the negatives of the atom bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Okay.
So, I mean, he saw those images like come up in the developing trays and everything.
Wow, yeah.
And he didn't really talk about it much. And it's like, I've been talking with my brother and sister about this some, because I think, he was really damaged by it, and I know he was damaged by it, and I was really close to my dad. I mean, I miss him every day. His phone number is still in my, in my phone books, in my contact list 17 years later, and I think about him. We've done road trips together and all this stuff, and it's like, I loved him to death, and, I know what he would be talking about right now, because in 1992, for the the campaign, Ross Perot spoke to my dad. I mean, he didn't come up and speak to him, but metaphorically, he loved that guy. Like, Ross brings out the charts, it brings out the graphs, and talks with this, this kind of nasally thing. And my dad would actually do impersonations of Ross Perot and quote him. And I forget, I've got him on my site and everything, some of the quotes, because I remember these quotes. It's like, because my dad and I talk politics a lot, and he always framed himself as an independent leaning left.
Okay.
So Ross Perot was kind of in his wheelhouse. And I mean, I watched some of that stuff with him. It was fun. It's like, Perot was a showman, and he had a lot. Yeah. I don't know. It was an interesting time. And so anyway, that
got you started in the sort of the analyzing politics, right?
Well, yeah, part of it. I mean, I signed up as a Dem at the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah.
When I was a high school student, in I think like 1974, 73, I'm terrible. I say 50 years, you know, I've been to Dem. I think it's really close. I think it was 73. So, yeah, the Dems had a booth at the Iowa State Fair, and, you know, I knew what they were up to and everything, and you know, I just went, you know, they had all these different booths, you know. I mean, everyone from the John Birch Society to the, you know, Republicans to, you know, yeah, you name it, and you know, they're the Dems, and I knew what they're up to. And my mom was a really staunch Dem. Like, she, you know, she caucused and loved that whole process. And, you know, she was a major influence, you know, for me as well. Yeah. I mean, she was not an independent. She was like a Dem through and through.
Right, right.
And, yeah, so, you know, it all started then, 50 years ago.
Yeah. So. And so what, you can't hear it? Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. What are... in terms of like that influence, right? Like, do you think a lot of those thoughts and like kind of ideologies and policies that the Democrats have espoused, like, how have you seen that evolve over time and kind of where we're at now?
Yeah, I mean, it's an important question, one I've thought about a whole lot, because, you know, well, I mean, you know, I'll use an example of my high school class. You know, I went to Des Moines Technical High School, class of 1975. And, you know, I was, you know, I call myself kind of a unicorn or the Antichrist as far as my, you know, my politics there. I mean, we all know Iowa, it's a pretty red state, and my classmates tend to be pretty red. So, you know, there were a few of us Dems, but, you know, it's like we had to, like, kind of sneak around, and it's like,
say openly.
Yeah, we can go, like, in the closet over here and talk, and, you know. But, you know, the difference is, I mean, all of my classmates of, you know, of the right persuasion, it was fine. Like, all those years, it's like, we talk a little bit of politics, but nobody cared, you know. And that's what's different now. It's like Trump has created a toxic environment where you... I mean, you know, these were friends. I mean, these are lifelong friends, basically, friends of 45, almost 50 years. And we, for 40 years or, you know, 38 years or something, everything was fine. Like, we were different. We knew it, and it was okay. But then all of a sudden, when, you know, Trump was elected and his whole platform of kind of hate and division and everything else, all of a sudden... Yeah, we didn't get along anymore. Some of us didn't even talk anymore. And I don't even know if I want to go to my 50th sometimes. I mean, that's in a couple of years. Yeah. And I will, you know, because I've actually started a discussion with that group on, hey, you know, it's like, I'm not the devil. And, you know, I think differently than you. And I just, you know, I think, you know, there is common ground that we have. That, you know, that we can come to. So I'm trying to find common ground. I spend a lot of time trying to find common ground, you know, so I respond, you know, to a whole host of people on social media, you know, the right, the extreme left, you know, I mean, everything. And I mean, I get irritated by the extreme left, and I get irritated by the extreme right. They both, and I mean, I'm a staunch Democrat.
Yeah.
And I mean, both sides, you know, can be really dogmatic and turn people off and, you know, just be crazy sometimes. And, you know, so my strategy is kind of one voter at a time from now until November, just make as many connections as I can. That's why I'm here at Atwood Fest, and I talked to 100 and some people here today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it tends to be a left crowd here, but there, you know, there were a couple persuadable voters here that weren't really fully on board with, you know, Kamala Harris and all that. So, you know, so that's my plan is to, you know, and I think it can matter. And, you know, because I really, you know, the power of storytelling, I really see that kind of, you know, it's going to help heal my family because we got some of those stories. And I'm kind of starting that discussion, and I'm going to start that discussion with people I don't know. Like, I came up, you know, to the truth booth to share my story.
Sharing your story,
And I didn't know anything about the truth booth and talked to the fine people here. And it's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the story, you know, we're story-driven creatures, right? And ultimately, the story we tell ourselves, our internal story, projects what we tell others, and unfortunately we have been sort of like too much in the dark side of the storytelling, and so goals here was just to like open it up, and like I said, there's no agenda other than you drive the conversation, and we enjoy talking to people.
I think it's awesome, because I think it really is about that. I think that's how we're going to win this election, is all of us telling stories.
Right.
You know, I mean, we all have family members and friends and neighbors and whatnot. And it's like, just, you know, don't be nasty about it. Just tell stories.
Right.
And,
you know,
I'm trying really hard to be civil on all those discussions. And I don't use like the angry emoji very often at all. If I use like the laughing one, it's because something's really funny.
Yeah.
And part of what I post is funny stuff too. Like probably 3/4 of the stuff I post is funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, be it, you know, I mean this whole thing with the Olympics now and this kind of meltdown on, you know, the supposed, you know, parody of the Lord's Prayer, which, I mean, actually they just got it plain wrong. They don't know their art history and their, and their religious history. It's
right.
It's like the French. It's the most amazing show I've ever seen for the Olympics, you know, inclusive and all these things. And it was brilliant. It's like using this, you know, the Seine River as, you know, the stage. But there was this big message, you know, he got to hand it to the French. I knew they'd pull it off because I love them, that they, you know, that they did something just, it was beautiful. The whole thing, I watched it twice.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it live, you know, from French streaming, and then I was so blown away that I watched it the second time at night when, you know, the networks, you know, clip it all together and do a compilation for prime time.
Right.
And I was in tears sometimes. It was just so amazing.
Yeah,
and
it definitely was a different framing for what we were used to for a opening ceremony, essentially.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because usually that's a complete snooze.
Right.
I mean, usually I don't watch it,
and
quite frankly.
Yeah, it reminded me, have you ever seen the movie Emily?
Yeah.
It kind of, parts of it, they were so like, kind of like just... French film feel, right?
Oh,
so,
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So I just loved it. And I've posted a bunch on that because there's all this kind of, I don't know, kind of Christian righteousness about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was raised United Church of Christ. I have a family that, you know, is very religious. And I tend to be more on the questioning side of things. But I'm spiritual in my own way. And, you know, I'm just surprised at how, like, during this election and also, you know, the French example of, you know, the intolerance of art. And I mean, throughout history, you know, we've made fun of stuff, and that's okay. It's like we live through it. And, you know, it's like, what's the big deal here, folks? And it's, I mean, I always refer, like, I'm a Brit, you know, so I always go back to, like, Monty Python. And one of the things I posted today was this amazing, it was a sing-along for always sing on the bright side of life. So it's a huge audience with an orchestra. And, I mean, I don't know how many people, like 10,000 people or something. And they're all singing along to that famous song. It's from The Life of Brian. I remember it,
right,
which is,
right.
Okay. It's got some issues. Yeah. I actually owned a theater for a while, and I showed it. But it's just, that kind of encapsulated it for me. It's like, you know, the Brits have done this really well. And like, yeah, nobody died or anything. Like nobody, you know, we laugh about it and we talk about it then. And they're all fine with it. It's like, I don't know why we're so like crazy about this notion that we can't, you know, we can't critique religion. We can't critique our politics. We can't critique our organizations. We can't critique, you know, the corporations. We can't critique, you know, yes, we have to critique all of those because there's a bunch of it that's really broken.
And I think the tolerance for dissenting points of view is hopefully, it's almost like it's a muscle we need to exercise, and we haven't been exercising it as well.
Yeah, that's what's really exciting for me, because everywhere I look around here, you know, at your booth here and with my friends and even family members, I'm seeing it. You know, it's like there's a whole new wave of coming, and it happens to be blue.
Here's hoping, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And you will actually get a T-shirt. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much for stopping by, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And keep up the good work, because we need people talking to each other.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You can find me on Facebook. It's just Kevin Pomeroy, and that's Pomeroy. That's the only place I'm at right now, but I'll be expanding. Okay. So check it out.
Perfect.
Alrighty, bye now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. It was fun.
Bye.